All right, let's take our Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at the last few verses of this chapter, but the beginning of the chapter, as most chapters of the Bible work, everything sets up the end of the chapter. And so the first 12 verses deal with Jesus sending out groups two by two. Verses 13 to 16, Jesus condemns those who are unrepentant. Verse 17 to 20, these groups that he sent out come back rejoicing, and Jesus reminds them why they need to rejoice, mainly because their names are written in heaven. Verse 21 to 24 talks about here that Jesus directs the worship to the Father. Verses 25 to 37 is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then we get to verses 38 to 42. Let's go ahead and read these here. Verse 38 starts this way. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What I would like to look at tonight is this thought of a certainty of choice. Certainty of choice. We all have a choice. From the moment we wake up every day, we have a choice. Do we get up out of bed? Do we stay in bed? Right? Do I get myself cleaned up or do I stay stinky? Do I go to work or do I not go to work? We all have choices, and the choices roll throughout every day. If you make the wrong choices, they roll to a certain end. If you make the right choices, they roll to a certain end. But here in this passage, we find that there are things that are choices along the way. The first thing that we see is here that there's a certain village. A certain village. Verse 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. Okay, when we deal with Christ and we understand Jesus always had a purpose. Okay, whenever he did something, he did so on purpose. It wasn't ever one of those things that it shocked Jesus like, oh man, I can do that. That's amazing. He knew who he was and he knew what he could do. And he knew what he could do for the people that he stopped to help. And he knew that if he stopped, he was going to help. So we know that when we come to this passage and there's this certainty of choice, it's a certain village that he was choosing to go to, okay? We see there's Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus knew what he was what was going to happen when he was there at that village, and Jesus knew how or who was going to be there and who was going to be doing what they were doing. So when Jesus comes into this village, he goes to this house. He knows Mary and Martha. He loves them. He loves their brother Lazarus. He walks into their home and he knows that Mary is the one who's going to sit at his feet, and he knows Martha is the one who's going to be busy in the back. Okay? There's nothing wrong with somebody being busy, and there's nothing wrong with somebody sitting and learning. Okay? We need both. There's a time to be busy, and there's a time to sit and listen. There's a time to work, and there's a time to rest. And here, Jesus comes into this certain village knowing there's this choice on the table. Sit and listen, or stay busy. Keep yourself busy. Okay, this is usually what happens with people, isn't it? We get busy, and so we stay busy. And we all have that mind of, oh, well, so-and-so is not helping me. Oh, well, I have to do this all by myself. You don't have to do it all by yourself. You don't have to feel like you're the only one working, because honestly, folks, Take a step back. The second certainty that we find is a certain woman, verse 38. The next phrase there says, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Notice verse 39, though. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So there's a certain woman specified as Martha, but she had a sister. I was about to say blessed. I only have one brother. I don't have any other siblings. I was about to say I'm blessed not to have a sister. I just want to make sure everybody understood what I was saying. I was blessed in that mindset that I didn't have to deal with that, okay? Some of you are blessed to have that as a situation in your life. Any of you guys? Yeah, a couple? All right. Honestly, folks, we all have sibling trouble, do we not? Growing up, my brother's 5.5 years older than I am. He was cool. Man, I wanted to do everything John did. He was 18 going out on the town and doing stuff, and I'm 13, and he wants your 13-year-old brother tagging along. My brother didn't, that was for sure. We all have sibling trouble. But Jesus knew the differences between these two. He went there on purpose. Remember, he goes to a certain village. He didn't say he just showed up and found himself at this place. He was there on purpose. But he also went to this place on purpose for a certain person on purpose. It was not a surprise to them for Jesus to pop by. It wasn't one of those like, oh, we have to hurry up. They knew he was coming. Mary was excited to see Jesus and learn from Jesus. And so she sat at his feet. Martha is going, man, my house is a mess. I need to clean it up. I need to make sure people are fed and more people are coming and I don't have enough food. And so I've got to keep going. There's a certain woman. Martha is the hostess, the homemaker, the honeybee, if you would. She's always working. Always working. If she's not putting the pollen in, she's out collecting the pollen. She's doing her job. But there was also Mary. She's the worshiper. She's the wanderer. She's the welcomer of Jesus. She wants to glean everything she possibly can. Folks, this is the same thing that we should be doing. When it's time to work, we work. We do the honeybee situation. We put ourselves fully into the work. But when it's time to worship, it's time to welcome Jesus in. It's time to allow him to foster within us a feeling of hope, of peace, of calm. It's time. Everything deals with time. Either I'm going to spend time being busy or thinking about being busy, or I'm going to be worshiping and thinking about worship. The point is, we're here tonight. The possibility of worship is right here. But there are numerous of us who are here tonight who are thinking, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to get that done tomorrow? Oh, if I don't get it done tomorrow, it means I have to do it Friday, and I really don't want to push it off to Friday. How do I know? I've been in your shoes. I understand. We're human. We do this thing. We come to church sometimes because it's just what we do. But we're not coming to this certain place all the time ready to worship. Sometimes we're coming to this certain place because it's just habit. We just do it. But I'm thinking of the work that I have to do. It's time to worship. There's also a certain problem. Verse number 40 says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I think this is kind of funny here, okay? So you have this one sister who's kind of put out that she's doing all the work, and so she goes to the one she knows has some authority and who her sister will listen to. You with me? Means that Martha is not being listened to by her sister. Here's a sibling problem. Well, Mom, I told him, I told her that they just didn't listen to me. Well, of course they don't listen to you. My brother, I love my brother. He told me one time, he was yelling at me actually, and finally he comes out with the phrase, you know what, you never listen to me. You just hear the words coming out of my mouth, but you don't listen to the words. And I'm like, I don't get that. Okay, it wasn't because I was young and dumb. I'm just like, who are you? So here's Martha. Here's the problem. She's busy, she's washing dishes, she's waiting tables, and she gets cumbered about by that. Because I believe in this whole passage, she really, really actually wants to be out there to worship the Lord. She wants to hear the words that Jesus says instead of the bypassing comments that she's hearing as she's working. So what does she do? She, in essence, interrupts. It would be as if my wife or one of you were to stand up and be like, I have something to say while the preacher's preaching. I really need some help in the nursery. You might need help in the nursery, but we're here. Honestly, bring the kids in. Let's worship. It's why we're here. And so the problem is that she gets cumbered about. She feels the weight of everything upon her. And she's like, I just can't do it alone. And I'm tired of doing it alone. And if Mary came, here's her solution. If Mary came and helped me, I'd get it done twice as fast. Right? I'd get it done twice as fast. Then I could come in and I could worship. Okay, now I know I'm putting things in here. Understand this, though. When she or you or I or whoever would say this and go, then I can, that's a problem. We should never have to get to a place, well, I can do all of this and then I can worship the Lord. Then I can give to God. Then I can go to the mission field. Then I can hear the preaching. Because if we keep putting time limits on it and setting things off to the side or setting things in a motion where we'll never attain, we're never going to do it. Martha had a problem, and she let it creep up on her shoulder. She let it sit there, and so she's walking around having the grumbly grumps, moaning along the way, as most of us do when we're in this situation, right? Oh, if she would just help me do this. Here's Martha. And she comes to Jesus. I don't think she made a big scene. I think that there might have been a lull in the conversation, or as she's serving and she puts a plate down in front of him, she goes, hey, Jesus, would you have Mary help me? It's a certain problem. But there is a certain answer. Verse 41. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The certain answer comes in two parts. The first part is that we can fixate on me and my earthly problems. This is what Martha decided to do. here's me doing the work, you know, handling all of the other business. And Martha's doing nothing. She's fixating on herself. Folks, there are troubles that multiply. Things dealing with family, health, job, car, finances, home, the list can go on and on. These things seem to roll as we go along in life, don't they? It seems like you hear the phrase, and most of us have probably said it at one point in time, when it rains, or is that right? You know what I'm saying. I live in England. That's my excuse. Yeah, when it rains, it pours. Thank you. There it is. But Christ uses two different words here with Martha. He says, "Thou art careful." Now, this is not the careful that we think of, like, oh, you were careful. You didn't drop any dishes. You were very good at your job. No, careful here brings with it this thought of being anxious. You're anxious. We all know an anxious person. We all know somebody who always has a little bit of an edge to what they do, how they speak, how they walk. And here Christ is using this terminology for Martha. These people use these thoughts and phrases such as when or how or can this thing get done on time. The phrase like no one else cares, no one else seems to care, can't they see what I'm going through? Of course people see what you're going through. But sometimes you need to use the verbal words to be able to say, I need help. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The second word that he uses here to describe Martha is troubled. This means disturbed. Have you ever been troubled? I think all of us at some point in our lives has been troubled, has gotten to a place where we go, oh, that's a problem. Some of us do a better job at hiding it, others not so much. And here's Martha not hiding it very well at all. They come to this idea, these ones who are troubled, that the weight is unbearable. I was talking with my pastor before we came out here to the West Coast, and he was talking about somebody going through something, and he said, you know, what they went through, I don't see as, like, that's a hardship. It was a physical test to check on some blood disorder and whatnot. And he just looked at it and said, you know, I just don't understand why they feel like that's a huge thing. But to them it is, because that's the worst they've ever gone through. My pastor and his family have gone through some pretty horrible things physically. So he's sitting here going, I just don't see why that's a big deal. But he said, I do understand. To them it is. Okay, so my pastor's not heartless. Don't take it that way. But it's this thought, the weight is unbearable. And again, I think we've all probably gotten to a point with something in our lives where we go, man, I can't handle it anymore. It's unbearable. Some might say the trial is too hard. The phrase, the question that we all seem to ask is, why is this happening to me? Right? I mean, I'm a nice guy. I treat people well. Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So the next time before you go, why is this happening to me? Oh, this is unbearable. Is it true? Is it pure? What has God brought your way that is true, that is pure, that is lovely? And think on those things. Your attitude about the whole problem will go away. That's a guarantee. Okay, and you can look at me and how can you guarantee that? Because I've read this book. I know that if you follow the things that are in this book, it's a guarantee that things will go your way. Why? Because you'll be doing the things God wants you to do. It's not that hard. And here Martha is trying to figure this out. She's trying to figure it out. And she's having a hard time. And she's walking back and forth. She's trying to justify certain things. And here Christ points it out to her and says, you're careful and you're troubled about many things. Ugh. It would be bad enough for just one thing. But when Jesus, the Savior of the world, goes, you're troubled about many things. Man, I have some issues then. Things that I don't even know about, because the only thing on my head is I just want Mary to help me. The second way we can have this certain answer is to choose to focus on Jesus. Because we see here in verse number 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That phrase, one thing is needful. If we can just grab a hold of that thought, one thing is needful. One thing is the thing I need today. The one thing, it doesn't matter what else happens. If I have that one thing, everything's fine. That one thing is Jesus. If I have my salvation, everything else in the world could go wrong. I still have Jesus. And here's where Jesus is trying to bring this thought back into Martha's mind. Because Martha didn't not know this. Okay, she knew who Jesus was. She knew that he was going to be the Savior of the world. She believed this wholeheartedly. But we have this time. Every once in a while, it creeps up. We forget it. Or we set it so far back in our mind that we don't pay attention to it, so that when a trouble comes, we so focus on that problem or that one little thing that we forget, I'm saved. Here Christ looks at Martha and he says, the one thing is needful. And Mary. It's like, you know, putting a lemon on that paper cut. I mean, ow. Here's Martha going, if you could just have Mary help me. He goes, no. You're troubled. You're anxious about many things. But Mary, I don't know about you, but every time I was compared to my brother, I didn't like it. Now it's not so bad. Here's Martha, but Mary. Mary hath chosen that good part. That good part, the good portion or allotment. She desired Jesus. She desired to be in his presence. She desired to sit at his feet. She wanted his company more than sustenance. And she made it happen. She took the opportunity to sit at his feet, to learn, to listen, to soak in truth that she knew she wasn't getting over at the temple. She sat there in amazement at her Savior, and she wanted to be there. She didn't just show up because he showed up. She didn't just come because, well, it's what we do. When Jesus comes into town, I show up, here I am. This thing would not be taken from her. That's what it says. And it shall not be taken from her. When we walk away from church, it doesn't matter if it's a Wednesday night, it doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, it doesn't matter if you come in for a teen activity or some other activity, do you walk away more full of Jesus than when you walked in? Because honestly, folks, if we're not walking away with more of Jesus, I'm going to say this not just because I'm preaching. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter what the preacher's preaching on. You can still walk away with some more of Jesus than what you had when you came in. Martha was busy. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. The choice we have is to be busy or to learn. Romans 8, 35 to 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we can't walk away more full of God after having been to church, then you have lost the hope of what Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39 has to say. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. I don't know who's here and who's saved or who's not saved, but understand, if you're not saved, the love of God surpasses everything. And he wants you to have a relationship with him. He doesn't want you to walk out the doors just going, it's another church service, oh well. We have choices to make. The choice to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior trumps all choices. In fact, I believe that's the first and most important choice any person can truly make. Martha needed to be reminded who her Savior was and what was the most important thing. And sometimes, folks, we need that same reminder. We need to be reminded that Jesus is more important than what I have to do tomorrow. Jesus is more important than what I'm planning to do in 15 minutes as soon as I'm out of the doors of the church. Doesn't mean those are unimportant things by any means, but folks, we're here on purpose to hear more about Jesus Christ, to get in touch with God, to understand what's going on, not just here in Redding, California, but all the way over in Carlisle, England. The hope that we have, that we take to the people of England, is simple. It's to know Jesus. To walk away full of the Spirit instead of full of something else. And with that, we ask for you to continue to pray. We appreciate your prayers. Without that, we have nothing. We don't want to be the Martha. We want to be the Mary. But sometimes we get wrapped up in the Martha things. Because if we don't do it, who will? But the time for us to be Martha is not the same time we have to be merry. It's the same here. Take the time to be Martha, but take the time to be Mary. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the time you've given to us. I pray that you'd guide and direct, that your will be done in the next few moments. And Lord, I ask that you would guide now our hearts. Help us, if we are being a Martha, to understand we need to be Mary as well. If we're just being Mary, help us to know we need to be Martha as well.